ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I wonder what would have happened if I doubted God, if I didn't walk by faith. Maybe I'd still be working outside the church to supplement the income because I didn't take those steps. The second one is, you know, the radio tower, and I'm sure you're all fully aware of what happened with that. When we got a radio station like 12 years ago, and the city said, you know, you can have a tower that's 12 feet above the highest part of your building. And so we used the garage, which is a little higher than this building, and we were able to get our tower 28 feet high. That was it. A few years back, the Lord put it upon our hearts to see if we could put a higher tower up. And the city kept turning us down, and we tried everything. And finally they said to, I think they told Conrad, you know, why don't you just put up a steeple? Put up a steeple and go 15 feet above the steeple, and that could be like a tower to you. We're like, well, all right. So we contacted a company to come and do the work, and, you know, they kind of drew up some plans, and it was going to be a pretty big project because they couldn't just put a steeple 45 feet high on the back building. They had to actually put it to the floor of that garage building and get it cemented down, bolted down, because that's a pretty high steeple. And he wasn't real excited about doing it, but he would do it. You know, we were going to pay him for it, so he was going to do it. And the guy who was overseeing the projects thought, you know, I'm going to look at the books and see. He said, no, I don't see anything in here that says we can't put up a tower. So he went to the city. Keep in mind, we've been doing this for years, asking the city for a higher tower. And he went in and said, you know, I don't see any reason why they can't have a tower to put their radio antenna on. And the city goes, either do I. Go ahead. What? You know, you just, it blows your mind. You just don't get it. But that's what they said. It was okay to put up this, you know, 50-foot tower and, you know, another 15 feet then for the antenna above that. Here's what God told us to do. He didn't tell us, you know, just step in, test the water, see what'll happen. Jump in. And granted, for the steeple, to put a steeple up here would have been a huge amount of money. Huge. The radio ministry is different than the church. They don't share funds. The radio ministry is completely separate. It really doesn't have money coming into it except what people donate. There's only, of all the people that are on the radio station as teachers, there's only three that donate some money, and that's it. But God has always provided. We've never had to ask the church, we need some money to do this, we need some money to do that, to take from the church account. But God provided. But here's the thing. With the steeple, how are we going to do this? But I really felt, let's not test this. Let's not, this is what God wants us to do. Let's do it. And if we didn't take that step with the steeple, we would have never got to the tower. Because God said, before you get the tower, you have to go get the plans for the steeple. Seems kind of crazy. It would have been much easier to go just with the tower. But he did it that way. And he provided all the funds for it. And I wonder how much God has given to us that we're not possessing because we're not walking by faith. You know, Paul in Ephesians 1:3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." I don't think we realize all that we have in our hands, all that God has given to us, but he says, walk by faith. Now, maybe you heard the story, a man who came in and robbed a convenience store, and he got away with $124. And he held the clerk up with a gun. And he was arrested a short time later for his crime. And here's the interesting thing. The old gun that he used to rob the store was an old Civil War era pistol. It was worth $23,000. He robbed a store for $125 with a $23,000 Civil War pistol. Wow. The the treasure he had right there in his hand he didn't even realize. And many Christians are like that. God's promise to us is not meaningless. It's true. And we have to have that heart that's willing to walk by faith and receive all that God has for us, not just the physical territory, but spiritual as well, as we're being conformed to the image of Christ. Well, look here again in Joshua 1. Look at the first part of verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Remember when the children of Israel were to enter the land and the spies came back and said the people are numerous and they're giants in the land, it's not going to work. How in the world are we going to stand against them? What does the Lord tell them here? No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. There's a promise of God for them, and really, I think, for us. Tragically, as we'll see as we go through Joshua, they didn't completely drive out the enemies in the end, those enemies brought them down. In Joshua 15:63, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. They didn't completely destroy them. Joshua 16:10, and they did not drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites to this day and have become forced laborers. Joshua 17, verses 12 through 13. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it happened when the children of Israel grew strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. The lesson is simple, guys. You cannot leave pockets of resistance in your life, or in the end, they will bring you down. As you hang around those who are living immoral lifestyles, they will bring you down. As you hang around those who are doing evil things, they will bring you down. If you don't defeat the enemy, it will defeat you. I've used the illustration before, but you could try this at home. You stand up on a chair, have someone stand up on the ground. You're the Christian. They're the wicked person who's trying to destroy your life. You try to pull them up on that chair. How hard is that? Now let them try to pull you down, and how easy it is. We need to be wise. And I'm not saying we don't talk to unsaved people. Of course we do. We share Jesus with them. But if they are our intimate, close friends, in the end, they will bring you down. You'll confide in them some issues that you're going through because you want to hear what they have to say because you know that they'll agree with your sin. It's a battle. We have to be wise. Paul in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6 said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Let's look at this, these battles that we face. We walk in these physical bodies, absolutely. But here's the thing we have to remember. Our warfare is not in the physical realm. This is a spiritual battle. There in Corinth, Paul was speaking of warring against these false teachers who were being used by Satan to wage spiritual warfare against Paul and the church in Corinth. How are they doing it? By sowing false doctrine into it. And we need to be careful because the enemy also gets us to go down rabbit trails and fight these battles that distract us from the real battle, the real fight, which is against the devil and his forces. Again, Paul in Ephesians 6:12 said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Paul wasn't going to get drawn into this verbal battle with the enemy. He's not going to allow them to goad him into a fight on a carnal level. He's going to deal with this on a spiritual level. And the devil wants to imprison people, and we want to set them free in Christ. And there's the battle, guys. What weapons do we have? Our mighty weapons, our offensive weapons, are prayer and the Word of God. We see it in Ephesians 6, dealing with the armor of God. And there's really nothing to add to that except God, because He's the one who gives us these victories. We stand strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not in our might. And as we use the weapons that God has given us, we can pull down the enemy's strongholds. What does it mean? Well, 2 Corinthians 10:5. casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, they are arguments. The Greek word means thoughts, opinions, philosophies, theories, ideologies. Think of it that way. That's what we're fighting against, these lies of Satan that are being spoken by the people of this world who are in bondage to Satan. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the word and the, can be translated even. So Paul's saying that we are fighting against these ideologies, even every high thing, or every proud, lofty ideology that is exalting itself against God. And isn't that what man does apart from God today, exalt himself against the knowledge of God? They try to eliminate God from this world. They're never going to be able to do it, but it's not going to stop them. I shared with you before that, you know, Greg Laurie and his Harvest Crusade, or whatever he's calling it now, he had a billboard put up in one of the areas where he was going to have one. And it showed him with a book in his hand. Didn't say Bible on it, but it was a book. And you know it was the Bible, but it didn't say it. People, the city said people complained about that, that it was offensive to them, and they took the billboard down. They said they were getting threats. Well, they checked with the police department, and the police department said, we never got any threats from anyone about the billboard. Do you see what we're fighting against? There is a battle going on that many Christians aren't even aware of today. I realize, you know, all these false religions of the world, all these cults, communism, Marxism, atheism, secular humanism, naturalism, whatever, they're moving people away from the true and living God. And so we stand up and say, there is a God, and we know who he is. And they are fighting against that. I don't know if you ever heard people say, you know, to you, oh, you're just being brainwashed by that Christianity and the Bible and stuff. You're just being brainwashed. Here's the reality. We're not being brainwashed. God never, ever tells us, turn off your brain. He says, think about this. Come, let us reason together. Here's the thing. The people of this world are being brainwashed by the devil, and he's gotten them to believe that there is no God, or that all roads lead to God, or it doesn't matter what you believe. My wife and I just saw a movie yesterday about Adolf Eichmann, top guys with the final solution for destroying the Jews. Unbelievable movie. I hate sad movies, but my wife made me go. But unbelievable that there are, in our school systems today, are telling our kids the Holocaust never happened. Who's being brainwashed? They're being told socialism is a good thing. Go to Venezuela, see how that's working out. Do you see the brainwashing that's going on? They're not taught to think, they're taught to believe. If it's on Facebook, it's got to be true. You know, we have so many resources to check things out today, but I think we're lazy, and we just believe what people say. Have I ever told you, just believe what I say, don't check it out? No, I always tell you, you check out what I say. You make sure it's true. You know why? Because I'm not afraid. It's in the Word of God. And if it's not in the Word of God, I need to be made aware of it. So we're not being brainwashed. They are. And so we're fighting against these lies, these thoughts, these opinions, these philosophies, these theories that are coming against God. The New Living Translation puts the verses we read like this. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Yes. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and as the captain of our salvation, he's enlisted us as soldiers to continue this good fight of faith. And it's not how big the enemy is. It's not about how strong the enemy is. It's about the Lord and what he has promised to us, and then taking those steps of faith and seeing the salvation that he's going to bring in the situations we're facing. But fear can stop us from moving forward, can't it? Absolutely. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Oh my gosh, there's giants. What should we do? Well, look at the last half of verse 5 here in Joshua chapter 1. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Wow. Amen to that, right? What could be done about fear? Have the correct perspective of the situation. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. There is a precious promise of God to us. Our victory is assured not because Joshua is a great leader or because Israel is a great nation, but because God is great. And he says to Joshua, I will be with you. Don't you want to go into battle with the Lord? I do. I mean, remember as a kid? You know, my dad could beat up your dad, right? Hey, you want to be with the big guy. Yeah, now I feel tough. Hey, being with God? Yeah, that's what we need. I will be with you. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What could man do to me? Wow, isn't that great? When you know that God is with you, that he's never going to forsake you, your whole perspective changes. Hey, what could man do to me? He can't do anything because God is with me. Now, isn't it easy to say that when things are going well? Yeah, God's with me, man. Look at what he's doing. This is great. This is everything's perfect. I don't know how often that happens in your life. But what happens when you lose your job or when your health is failing? What happens when your spouse is threatening to leave you? What happens when ... You can place all kinds of things in there. But what happens is we lose our perspective. Because as big as God is, we place our circumstances right in front of our face and we block God completely out of our sight. Oh, how could that happen? It's impossible. Well, think about the sun, how enormous the sun is, right? Give you a perspective. The mean radius of the sun is 432,450 miles. Diameter, 864,938 miles. You can line up 109 Earths across the face of the sun. The sun's pretty big. But do you realize that with my fist, I could block the sun completely out? And you know how? By putting it so close to my face, the sun is gone. We could place our situations so close to us that we don't see God any longer. And we become overwhelmed and we're discouraged. And we begin to start doubting. But God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Get rid of that situation in your life and look to him. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We can't do it on our own. We need him. We can't gain the victory apart from him. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Moses in Exodus 33, verses 15 and 16. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. You know, I like that. Lord, if you're not going with us, then we're not going. Isn't that how it should be, right? If the Lord isn't with us, why are we going? Why are we doing it? And the only way God's not going to go with us is if we're outside of his will. And he's always with us. We just won't see the victory in reality. The Spirit of God is always with us. Jesus prayed in John 14:6, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Wow, so as a believer, the Holy Spirit is always with us. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Wow. We should take great comfort in the promises that God has given to us. He's always with us. He will never forsake us. And you have to have a proper perspective of things. You know, Paul said in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? Isn't that a great perspective to have? God's for us. We're his kids. You know, he probably has our artwork on his refrigerator. I don't know. It's a big refrigerator. But, you know, we tend to look at the world and we go, oh, the world's against us. Of course it is. The world's against God. Of course the world's against us. But God is with us. You see the perspective. We're going to face many battles. Having a correct perspective is important. One writer put it like this. He said, "Our weak hearts, prone to legalism and unbelief, receive these words with great difficulty. God is for us. They have failed him, but he is for them. They are ignorant, but he is for them. They have not yet brought forth much fruit, but he is for them." I like that. God is for us. We have to believe that. He's not against us. And yeah, there are many enemies against us. But as Paul said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." I mean, that's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. All day long we're suffering. How are we encouraged by that? By what Paul says in verses 37 and 39 of Romans 8. "Yet, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow. God's for us. No one can come against us. God allows things to happen in our life, but he's there to test our faith, to help us to grow. But nothing's going to separate us from his love that's found in Jesus. And the Lord's telling Joshua, "Look, guys, I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you guys. I'm not going to forsake you. You need to enter the land." In 1 Chronicles 28:20, David said to his son Solomon, as Solomon was taking over the throne in Israel, he said, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. Why? God's with you. Perspective. And as he was with Solomon, he'll be with us. Until when? Until we have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Until this life is over and we go to be with him, he's with us. He's got work for us to do. Aren't you glad that God wants to use us? I mean, think about it. Here's Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, and says, "I'm going to use you. And I'm going to be with you. I'm never going to forsake you. And I'll see you through to the end." That's great. But we get discouraged. We don't want conflict in our lives. But if we don't have conflict, where's the victory, right? If you don't run in a race, how are you going to win? You're not. Willie Stargell, great baseball player of the past, he led the league in 1971 with 48 home runs. That's amazing, man. 48 out of the park. He had 154 strikeouts that year. Wow! 154? Come on! Is that crazy? It's not. What if Willie Stargell said, "You know what? I'm striking out all the time here. I'm tired of it. I'm not going up to bat anymore. I'm done with this." If he said that, guess what? He would hit no more home runs. There'd be no more victory. No more defeats, but no more victory. Just be stagnant. If you want to live that victorious Christian life, you're going to have conflicts. That's just the way it is. Battles are a part of Canaan, and that really isn't the issue. It's how we handle those battles that matter. Look at what we've seen this morning. God has given them the land. They just needed to go in and take it by faith. God promised it to them. And we need to go and take possession of what God has given to us. Victory over the flesh nature, victory over physical things as we've seen. God told them that no man will be able to stand before them. They had to walk by faith. For us, it doesn't really matter how big, how rich, how smart the enemy is. No, God says he's going to take them down. And he'll use us to do it, which is really funny. But we gain that victory over these enemies that are bigger, stronger, smarter through prayer and the word of God. And lastly, we have the promise of God's presence in our life. He'll never leave us or forsake us. This is the promise of victory. And thus, we need to take those steps of faith where God is leading us and see the victory he has for us. But we have to walk by faith. God promised it to us. Now you walk and you see the victory that you'll have. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for these lessons. And they're hard ones, Lord. We look at the children of Israel and the difficulty they had in walking sometimes. And yet, we do the same thing. We get nervous, we get afraid, we get complacent. There's so many reasons why. But Lord, you tell us to trust in you. You've given us the victory, you've given us the land, but we must walk by faith and trust in your promises. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to live that victorious Christian life, to bring honor, glory to you, to draw others to you through it, Lord. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for your love for us. And Lord, may we go forth in that victory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joel and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.